Thank you, Bob. Okay. It's always difficult to be the last speaker, but I'm glad to see so many of you still here. I was in this position at about this time, in this room, a year ago, to give the last talk. And Arno did the same thing. Could you cut the talk in half? So I'll try. When I stood before you a year ago, I was here with my colleague Mark Patterson. Two of us were two of the 14 members of the Scholarly Publishing Roundtable. And 3 or 4 days before the meeting last year, the roundtable gave its report. So I just want to give a postscript. So what's happened in a year? Did the report end up like a typical committee report and go get filed on the shelf? Or is anyone doing anything about it? In particular, the organization that asked for the report, which was the U.S. Congress. So what I hope to do in the next 15, 20 minutes is tell you, or remind you what this report was about. I will then tell you how people reacted to it. Probably too many of you who've heard me talk about it for the last year. And most importantly, I will concentrate on what happened in the U.S. Congress just before the holiday break, which bears under the report directly. And I'm sorry I missed most of yesterday's discussion on data, because there are some very interesting things happening in the data realm that connect to the publication realm, as this group discussed yesterday. And I want to tell you about a couple upcoming events on open data policies to connect the two. So just to remind you, when I got into this business, there was a disturbing trend in my mind that librarians and publishers were sort of on opposite sides of this potentially polarizing and really polarizing parts of the access issues, to the point that there was dueling legislation in the last two Congresses in the U.S. There were two bills, one called the Federal Research Public Access Act, largely supported by the library community and some publishers, and another one called the Fair Copyright and Research Work Act that was supported by a number of publishers and publishing groups. The two pieces of legislation, if they were to become law, would sort of cancel each other out. And so that's a disturbing way for two communities, the library community and the publication community, who have been partners for 3.5 centuries, to be behaving in front of the U.S. government. Now, a patron of the Scholarly Publishing Roundtable was the outgoing chair of the U.S. House Science and Technology Committee, Bart Gordon. As of last Tuesday, he's no longer the chair of this committee. He served for more than 18 years in Congress, and he actually was very tired of these two fractions of the publication community coming to his office and say, fix this access problem. And he turned the question around. He said, you're scholars, you're academics, so some of you publish, some of you run repositories, you're all the same people, don't bring me a problem, bring me a solution. And so he set up the Scholarly Publishing Roundtable middle of last year. It was set up as a so-called staff roundtable of the U.S. Congress that gave it some protection from the 24-hour blog cycle. We actually started working in June of 2009 and finished our report last year at about this time. We worked in coordination with the U.S. President's Science Advisor. That office called the Office of Science and Technology Policy. We were given a very generic charge. What should the federal government do about public access to the results of that research? And of course, those results, a big part of it had to do with publications. There's a part having to do with gray literature. There's a part having to do with the data. The roundtable, when it got together, focused on publications. We gave our report just before this meeting last year, and you can go read it if you haven't. It's actually pretty short. It's only about 20 pages, and it's quite readable. And I'm not going to spend much time on the report because you're probably all familiar with it, but the group agreed upon shared principles that you largely heard in the last session that are core values of the publication community. And the recommendation, the core recommendation, was very simple. The group recognized that the U.S. government funds something like $40 billion of scientific research each year. And the people who pay for that, the U.S. taxpayer, should have access to the benefits of that research, publications being one venue. Now, if someone read this core recommendation and stopped there, you're doing the wrong thing, because we had a lot of caveats in the report because of how nuanced this issue is. These are sort of the key nuances. We actually felt that the process that the roundtable did, the roundtable included a roughly equal mixture of publishers. Mark Patterson was on it with me. We had YSG from Elsevier. We had a group of librarians. We had a group of provosts. Provosts are the US chief academic officers of an American research institution. All three of those cohorts are stakeholders. The fact that we could lock ourselves up and have a polite and civil conversation on this topic and come up with some recommendations which we felt were valid, the fact that we walked out of the room all feeling we'd lost a little blood but had compromised, I think we demonstrated a process that further progress in this issue could be made. And if we did nothing else but change the nature and tone of the debate to allow this kind of civil process to continue, then I would declare the roundtable a success. And as I will show you in what was just passed by the U.S. House, I think we will have a mechanism for stakeholder input for the process to continue. Another key tenet of the report was the importance of interoperability. We very rapidly realized that we weren't talking about just increasing access mechanisms. We were talking about the whole issue of how you make publications and the data associated with publications interoperable. And important discussions of the version of record to preserve the scientific record. I don't have to convince you of the importance of that. If you just Google a typical publication and find three or four versions of it and wonder which one is the correct one. So what has happened since then? The person who asked for the report, Chairman Bart Gordon, was very pleased with the result. So was the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the President's Science Advisor Office. At about the same time our report was coming out, they had an official request for information on what the public felt about public access. That information was gathered about a year ago, about the time this report went out. It's yet to see the light of day, which is kind of interesting. I queried the President's Science Advisor last week, and he could not give me a timetable when that report will be released. But he did tell me that he was very pleased with the roundtable's report recommendations and pleased in the fact that most of those recommendations ended up in legislation called the America Competes Reauthorization Bill, which, if you'd asked me 3 weeks ago whether this bill had any chance of being passed by the present U.S. Congress, if you haven't noticed, it's been a little fractious lately. But in the last week before the holiday break, both houses of Congress passed the bill, and a week ago Tuesday, President Obama signed the bill. And I'm going to tell you what's in it. An amazing turn of events, and I think the publication community and all the stakeholders of the scholarly publishing community should be very pleased with that. It is now public law. So what were the reactions to the report? I think most people who read it, regardless of where they were on the political spectrum on these issues, showed respect for the approach. They supported the general principles. and the consultative process that was used. And I must thank Bob Campbell, who introduced me, because he actually used the same process to review the report. And if you look at the July issue of Learned Publishing, he chose three people from three different walks of life to review the report. It's a very interesting review of the report. I urge you to look at it. In general, publishers had the usual reservations about when you're talking about giving something away free, concerns about property and copyright issues. One of the primary recommendations on how you deal with a return on investment is through the use of a delayed release embargo. We were not prescriptive on what term to use on that one and cited some evidence for that. And there were, of course, differing opinions of how you provide access to the version of record. Those who felt that this debate should be shut down with some sort of legislative mandate were disappointed in the roundtable's report that there wasn't a strong recommendation for immediate legislation. And there was some disagreement on how that should be handled, and also some disappointment about the version of record discussions in terms of where the version of record should be housed. Come back to that also. So here's the most important part of my message. Most of what I just said you're probably quite familiar with. Probably one of the most important pieces of legislation that had been passed by the U.S. Congress that affected scientific funding in the last 15 years was something called the America Competes Bill. It was passed in the last year of the Bush administration in 2007, and it put the funding of physical science on a doubling path for the last 3 years in the U.S. Funding increases of 6 to 8% for agencies like the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. Even though this bill was not a funding bill, it was something called an authorization bill. Authorization bills give guidance to the appropriation committees that actually give the money. That guidance was adhered to. The America Competes bill was passed in 2007 with a 92% majority in the U.S. Senate. Long gone, that sort of bipartisan support, which is why I expressed my doubts that the new version of this America Competes bill would pass. Mr. Gordon felt that this would be his legacy to get the bill repassed. It came up in the middle of this past summer, barely made it through the House, never came before the Senate. On the week before Christmas, the Senate picked up the bill again, and passed it with a single vote under a rule called unanimous consent the Friday before Christmas. 3 days later, the House passed it with slight bipartisan support, but it was passed. And they went home for the holidays when Mr. Obama came back from his Hawaiian vacation last Tuesday. The first thing he did was sign it. Okay. Now, this bill will probably help protect the funding of science in the next two or three terms. There'll be nothing like the kinds of increases we've seen in the past 3 years because of the budgetary pressures that you see the United States government is under and that most governments are under, with the exception of our friends in China. That's the reason you should be pleased about this bill, because if we don't have scientists well supported, they don't write articles that appear in our journals. Okay? But there's another reason you should be pleased about this bill, and that's Section 103. That Section 103 is devoted to the issue of public access, and it largely mirrors the recommendations of the roundtable, which is why I wanted to tell you about it. It basically calls for the President's Science Advisor Office to set up a working group. Now, when you ask a bunch of bureaucrats to set up a working group and do work, I know you're going to look a little askance and say, will this happen? And my last message to you will be, let's all help them make this happen. The subsequent recommendations in this piece of legislation are very important. It asks this working group to identify what the specific objectives, what public interest needs are served. They're fairly obvious. It is not looking for a one-size-fits-all solution. We've talked today and yesterday about the differences in certain fields, science versus the humanities, physics versus mathematics, and that variability will be taken into account. A very strong statement about the importance of interoperability and to take in account existing standards that standards organizations have been working on that involve people in this room and internationally. So this would not be a U.S. duplication of existing international standards. This is probably one of the most important recommendations: solicit input and recommendations from and collaborate with non-federal stakeholders. Ladies and gentlemen, that means you, okay? Representatives from the publishing community, representatives from the library community, representatives from research institutions, okay? This working group needs your input. If they don't hear from us, they're going to do what they want, okay? And it'll be our problem. They have to establish priorities on the work that's to be done, and they have to take into account the distinctions between publications and data. Good statement about peer review. Good statement about the obvious fact that so-called gray literature or informal research reports that are a condition of a grant from a U.S. agency, that ought to be routinely archived. You'd think that would be happening. It's not happening. And the last statement is very important. The science advisor has to provide a report back to Congress 1 year from last Tuesday. Okay? So what's to happen next? I think 2 minutes. Okay, I'll end with this slide. This legislation gives language to our community to continue the deliberative and consultative process that the roundtable demonstrated. Okay? And I think it behooves us to work and deliver them pragmatic suggestions on how to move forward. We can encourage the same kind of public-private partnerships that this community has worked on for many years, like Crossref, ORCID, and we just heard about PEER, all provide essential data. And we can encourage and stimulate the new business models. We just heard about the success of the PLOS One community-style journal, which is being cloned. And I thank Mark for plugging the American Institute of Physics clone of that. And to look at other ways of providing access, a very innovative company called Deep Dive that is working with a number of publishers. So who will provide this follow-up? It's us. So I hope we self-organize through our various organizations and will provide the working group from the President's Science Advisor Office with real solutions. Now, I will forget the data stuff. You can look at this report when I put it on the website. And so here are my parting comments. The publishing community needs to be proactive rather than reactive on these access issues or anything else. Okay, follow up on these recommendations. We have a unique opportunity. We shouldn't waste it. Okay? It behooves us to continue to provide increasing modes of access to all underserved communities and drive up the value propositions that many publishers are working on. We've heard about value. Okay? And this is a problem that the public sector cannot solve by itself. And we should not rely on the public sector to rely on itself. We should help them provide practical, sustainable solutions to a very real need of providing the taxpayer with what they pay for. So thank you very much. And I thank my colleagues on the roundtable.
Question? Okay. And after that, you go to the platform. Fred, those were some very strong, Bob Campbell from Wiley Blackwell, those were some very strong recommendations, conclusions at the end, and we will all look at them carefully. But my question is, will there be some coordinating group in the States? Are you working on that?
The answer is yes. We're trying to attack this at several levels. The editorial group from the roundtable. The roundtable no longer exists. When it handed in its report, it lost its commission. But the editorial group of the roundtable is in the Washington area, and we've volunteered our services to the President's Science Advisor Office to help them get good stakeholder input. At the same time, since most of my career was involved with dealing with the National Science Foundation and the Department of Energy, we're also working with them, who have actually reached out to a number of us, said, look, this is now law, we have to do something, what should we do? So we're going to try it at several angles. I would hope that the various publishing associations represented in this room will play a very important role also.
Yes.